Morning, Rabbi Sai. Our limit halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Ishtav Refuah Shleima, Bekorah, B'Soshah, Chole Yisrael. So the last few weeks we've been discussing the Arba Parshiyos. This week we have our Hafsoka. We have a break, and Shabbos HaGodol is the week after. So let's discuss a Shaila, which is Negea to Yom Tov. Shaila that's a practical Shaila, the Maisa, which is coming up for Yom Tov. Aaron Blau, who is the father of Rabbi Benny Blau, who's one of our speakers, asked Shaila to Reb Shlomo Freshwater, Shlita. He said that he invited an elderly lady for a Yom Tov meal. He invited an elderly lady for a Yom Tov meal, and she accepted. She was very pleased to be invited, to have a nice young family to go to. And then she phones back afterwards and she says, "Oh, and by the way, yeah, I'll be bringing with my Filipino carer. And my Filipino carer will also be sitting at your Yom Tov table." Yeah? And you could extend it even further for this particular Shaila and say, "And also I'm bringing my Chihuahua as well. I've got a pet dog. And I want to bring my pet with to the Yom Tov table as well." So, of course, this was any Yom Tov, right? Well, I'll be speaking about Pesach and the Seder in a minute, yeah? Right, that's Shaila number one. Is there any problem with that? Yeah, is there any problem with that? And if it is the problem, are we going to find a heter? The next Shaila is, my wife asked me. Well, she doesn't ask me. That's the problem. She doesn't ask me. Yeah, she has. We have a relationship, an ongoing relationship, with three non-Jewish girls who are training to become Giyorisen. Okay, one of them is from South Korea, and one of them is from Tasmania, and one of them is from France. Okay, they're all on the journey, as they say. They've been accepted by the London Beth Din, and they're studying to become Giyoy Rois, each one of them to become a Giyoyes. And they go to Shiurim, and they keep mitzvahs, etc. And they phoned up, and they said, "Can we come for the Seder? Can we come for the Seder?" My wife said, "With pleasure." And my wife told me, "Well, we've got these three non-Jewish girls coming for the two Sidorim. And the question is, do we have a problem with it? Why?" Because on Shabbos Parshas HaChodesh, this week, we lined a parsha, the heter that everybody knows of Oichel Nefesh. The heter of Oichel Nefesh is that you're allowed to prepare food, to do melocha, to prepare food on Yom Tov, which is something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. On Shabbos we don't cook, but on Yom Tov we can cook. The pasuk says, "Yeah, well, where's the heter?" Because it says, "Acha sheyeochel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yeosel lochem." Says the Gemara in Be'o, "Hu levado yeosel lochem." The heter of cooking on Yom Tov, the heter of oichel nefesh, is lochem, is only for you, for yidin. Or b'lochem v'loy la'akum, you cannot cook for a non-Jew. You cannot do any melocha to prepare food for a non-Jew on Yom Tov. Lochem v'loy liklovim. And who are doing for the Chihuahua or the Alsatian, right? You cannot prepare, you cannot do any melocha which is involved in food. And therefore, the halacha is brought down in Siman Tofresh Yud Beis, I think, or Tofkuf Yud Beis, I can't remember, I need to look it up. But the halacha is brought down that Chazal made a gezeira and they said you should not invite a goy for a meal on Yom Tov. We'll leave it there. Later we will expand in the next few days and we'll find out whether or not we have a heter to invite these people for the Seder and to invite the old lady for Yom Tov.
Started the Torah in North West London Monday. Base Nissan. 31st of March. Rabbi Eli Krauss, Shlita. Achudish Zer Lochem, our mission statement. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Cantor, Lichvot Simcha Nesuim, of Moshe Cantor, Nerioa, and Shirakot. Chasta takes place today, Mitzvah Hashem. Yirot Sen Shvina Bayes, Nemon, Bishvot Hashem, Lissilov, Zchus, Ashrim, Vachayolim, Bamil Chamo, Shachzu, Vatayim, Shalom, Bim Heiro.
Amen. My name is Eli Krauss. I'm here. I actually live in Lakewood, New Jersey, in the United States. I'm here to cover this Simcha that's being sponsored today. My shvogar Ari Cantor is making chasana this evening. It should be taka b'shatay v'mutzlachas.
Amen.
As a preface, to what we're going to speak about. There was once a child that came into his home about 350 years ago. And there sitting on the recliner was his Zayda. He's sitting on his lap, this young boy, and the Zayda asks him, "So Nu, Yankala, what did you learn today in Cheder?" He says, "I learned, my Rebbe told me about a place called Olam Haba." He said, "Taka, what's Olam Haba?" "My Rebbe said, Olam Haba is something you can't describe." "Like what?" He said, "I don't know. Tell me, Zayda, what's it going to be like in Olam Haba? What's Olam Haba? Is it candy? Is it toys? What's Olam Haba?" So his grandfather turns to him and says, "You know how when you wake up in the morning, and the first thing you need to do is mommy tells you that you need to go down to the well in your freezing cold weather and schlep, draw the water and bring it, and then put it on the stove? In Olam Haba, you don't have to do that. In Olam Haba, you just go over to the wall, turn some kind of thing on the wall, and hot water comes out of the wall." And this little child says, "How is that possible?" "Impossible." The Zayda says, "No, you don't understand. Everything is possible in Olam Haba." And goes on saying, "You know how in the summer months you would love to eat ice cream, but you can only have ice cream in the winter? In Olam Haba, you can have ice cream, even in the summer." And he goes on and on to describe how, you know how mommy has to go and wash the dirty clothing, go to the well, and then wring it out, and then try to find a place to dry it with the stove. And in Olam Haba, you just put the clothing into something, you press something, and it turns out clean and dry. And the young child is spellbound. He doesn't understand how. And Zayda says, "In Olam Haba, everything is possible." So Reb Shimshon Pinkus once said over this story, to ask the question, if the Olam Haba that our Zaydis were describing to their Einaklach back then is the regular mundane day-to-day function that we live in today, then how do we know that we're not actually eating our Olam Haba? Reb Yisrael Salanter says that a person in this world can actually eat up his Olam Haba. How does one take his mitzvahs and put them in the freezer so that when he gets to the next world, they're there and he's not consuming them through the comforts and the simple luxuries that we enjoy in this world today? There was a waiter at a chasana. He comes in and he notices that there's this fellow sitting in the middle of the circle and all kinds of people are dancing around him and they're serving him drinks. And the waiter says to himself, "What is this? What kind? I want the same." So the waiter sits down and he calls people and says, "Dance around me, serve me." And the Baal Simcha comes over to him and says, "I don't understand. Did you just get a meal at the wedding?" He says, "Yeah, I'm a waiter, I get to eat." "Do you realize that the wedding's not about you? The wedding is not about you. Tonight we're celebrating this young man, this chassan. We're dancing around him. You're here to serve. That's why you got to eat the meal you ate, because you're here to serve. You're not here to be served." When I heard this, it really hit me. Because we tend to think that maybe we're here to be served. Yeah, and a chenami, we got to pay. We got to pay with mitzvahs. We got to pay, you know, we want the Eibishter to serve us. It's not for free. But the truth is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the chasen. And we're the waiter. And if we want to be able to eat that meal at the wedding, then we have to serve, not to be served. And Rav Pinkus explained that we don't really have to worry about the comforts that we have today if we're serving. If we come to the chasana recognizing that it's not about me, but about the chasana, that it's not about me, but it's about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he's the center of attention in our lives, then yes, we'll get a free meal. And yes, we'll be able to do our laundry. And yes, we'll be able to eat ice cream. And yes, and we don't have to be concerned, because we're serving. Because we're not the center. We're actually here for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the topic that I'd like to talk about is something very interesting. We talk about serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does that mean? Why are we here? What is the mission of Klal Yisrael? What is the mission statement of Klal Yisrael? And it's interesting, the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael received as a nation, we just laid this past Shabbos. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, and it's a question that many ask, what is the significance of this mitzvah? Why is this the first mitzvah? Why is this the mission statement of Klal Yisrael? How? What is the message? The Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll give you a story. There's a depth to this story. Just yesterday, my family, as you know, most tourists, we ended up at Buckingham Palace. So there's a story about one of the guards of Buckingham Palace. One of the guards in Buckingham Palace, if you know, people come to Buckingham Palace and they meet a guard, and the guards stand there as statues, and we try to get them to smile, we try to get them to make a move, we try to get them to do something. And there was this one fellow that came and he tried everything. He cracked jokes, he started sticking out his tongue. And out of desperation that this guard should somehow budge, this young man actually spat the guard in his face. And immediately, obviously, they came in and they arrested this fellow. And they put him on trial. They arrested him. They put him on trial. And this fellow gets up and he gets up and he says, "Your Honor," he says to the judge, "I don't understand. You want to lock me life in prison? Life in prison. Why? This guard, I know him. He lives on my street. His name is John Doe. I know John Doe. As a matter of fact, I meet him in the street many times, and I've spat him in the face many times. Why are you locking me up in prison?" And the judge said, no, you don't understand. You didn't spit John Doe in the face. You actually spat the Queen of England in the face. That's who you spat in the face." And they locked him up. And when this became well known, that there was this unbelievable guard that when he was spat in the face, he stood there like a statue. He didn't move. He didn't, nothing. And people came from far and wide to see this John Doe. Who is this John Doe with such devotion and such dedication? And tourists wanted to know, where's John Doe? And there was no way, there's no way to know. So John Doe went over to the royal palace and requested, "Please, can we please sew onto my uniform my name, John Doe, so everyone will know that it is John Doe?" And the palace replied, "There's no way. Because you don't understand." He said, they explained to him, "If you're John Doe, then he doesn't go to prison. The only reason why he went to prison is because you're not John Doe. You represent the Queen. If on your uniform you have the name John Doe, then you're John Doe. But if you don't have your name John Doe, then you're something much greater. Much greater. And that's why he went to prison." Rabbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, Re'ei Zeh V'Kadesh. The Rabbeinu Shalom went and showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Levana, the moon, and he said, Re'ei Zeh V'Kadesh. And here is where the Rabbeinu Shalom gave the mission statement to Klal Yisrael. And he said, Re'ei Zeh, look at the Levana, look at the moon, V'Kadesh, look at the moon, and recognize, what is the moon? Who looks at a moon? No one looks at the moon. When you look at the moon, what are you really looking at? The light of the sun. No one looks at the moon as a mirror. The moon has no self. And the emes is that Klal Yisrael Re'ei Zeh V'Kadesh. Klal Yisrael is Nimshel de Lovana. Klal Yisrael is supposed to be that moon that reflects and mirrors the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. And that when someone looks at a Yid, he's actually looking at Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Eibishter is mirrored by Klal Yisrael in this world. Re'ei Zeh, look at that Levana V'Kadesh and be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Klal Yisrael's mission is to be like the John Doe, is to be the one that guards the palace in the sense that he represents Malchus Shemayim. He brings Kvoid Malchus to this world. Imagine for a moment that we have a mirror, and the greatest mirror, like we just explained, is the moon. The moon is the greatest mirror on the planet. And imagine for a moment that you have a mirror, and the mirror is dirty. The mirror has smudged on, and fingerprints, and maybe paint got on it. It's not going to fall. When you look in the mirror, it's not going to work. So what do you need to do? What do you need to do? You need to clean the mirror. That mirror needs to be cleansed. We need to, right? You need to get it until it's crystal, until it's perfect, and then it can actually function as a proper mirror. The Velt asks a Mordek Akasha, a very tremendous question regarding Pesach, regarding Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's the following, and it's really, really, really something. On the one hand, we are told that when Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, they were actually on the lowest level of Tumah. Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim when they reached Mem Tesh Shari Tumah, 49th level of Tumah. But on the other hand, we're told that Klal Yisrael went into Mitzrayim with a purpose. And the purpose was to cleanse Klal Yisrael. Kur HaBarzel, the fire of the avoida of the slavery, the working as a slave, was to cleanse them and to prepare them to become the nation of Klal Yisrael for the Ribbono Shel Olam, to purify them. So what is it? Did Klal Yisrael experience a purification in Mitzrayim? Or did Klal Yisrael stoop down into the greatest levels of Tumah in Mitzrayim? And this is really a tremendous question. But the truth of the matter is that it's not a question at all. Because remember, the purpose of Klal Yisrael as Avdei Hashem is to be the mirror. Is to mirror Kodesh Baruch Hu Re'ei Zeh V'Kadesh. And Klal Yisrael went into Mitzrayim as the mirror that's just dirt. That's dirty. With an ego. With a self. It doesn't work. When you look at a mirror that's dirty, you're looking at the mirror. You're not looking at that which the mirror is supposed to reflect and shine and mirror. And therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam had to put us into Mitzrayim, and we're not going to go into the Cheshbonos that the Derech Hashem, the Ramchal explains, how the Chet of Adam HaRishon, and so on, we needed to be purified. The self needed to be purified to become that mirror that can shine and beautify this world with Kodesh Baruch Hu, with the glory and honor of Hashem. And the process of cleansing that mirror was Shibun Mitzrayim. But Rabbi Isai, what does a mirror, when you look at a mirror, what do you see? You see whatever the mirror is facing. If the mirror is facing the clock, you'll see the clock. If the mirror is facing the Chofetz Chaim, you'll see the Chofetz Chaim. If the mirror is facing Haman, it's facing Haman. What? Klal Yisrael became a mirror. But what were they facing in Mitzrayim? Where were they living? Where were they? They were in the midst of Tumas Mitzrayim. The lowest level on this planet was Mitzrayim. So by living in Mitzrayim, they actually became a perfect mirror to mirror all of the Avodah Zarah, all of the Shmutz, all of the Tumah, of the Memteh Shari Tumah of Mitzrayim. They were part and parcel of the Mitzrayim, of the Mitzrayim. They were facing Paroi. They were Avodim to Paroi. They were the mirror of Paroi. So what does Hashem do? Hashem takes Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. When they reach that lowest level before it was too late, and Hashem takes us out of Mitzrayim, and takes that mirror and turns it to Himself. He takes that mirror, and we went from being Avdei Paroi to Avdei Hashem. The same mirror, the mirror that has no self, the mirror that's purified, the mirror that's a true Eved. But we went from being an Eved to Paroi to being an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch. And when we went out of Mitzrayim, we then became Re'ei Zevek Hadesh. We then became that Levana, that mirror, that John Doe of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And when a person, a Yid, is spat in the face, actually, it's Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the truth is that this also explains what everyone asked about the matzah. Why are we eating matzah? Why do we eat matzah lel Pesach? So you'll tell me, because of the Shibu Mitzrayim, because that's what they ate in Mitzrayim, it's to remind us of the tzar, of the work, of the... But on the other hand, we eat matzah, like we say, matzah zushanu eichlam, is because we came out of Mitzrayim, the Geula. How we came out of Mitzrayim? We came out of Mitzrayim in a way that there was no time for the bread to rise and to become bread. It remained matzah. So does matzah represent the suffering, the galus of Mitzrayim? Or does matzah represent the geula? And the emes is that it's all one. Because again, Rabbi Yisai, what is matzah? Matzah is bread without a self. It doesn't rise. There's no ego. That's what matzah represents, a yid. Matzah represents the mirror. Matzah represents our mission. But how did we get there? We needed to be avodim to paro. We needed to break the ego. We needed to be slaves. And through that, we were purified. And through that, we were able to then lose that self-centeredness and become the mirror of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when Klal Yisrael finished that Shibud, and we needed to, it was time to take that mirror and sort of turn it around and become Avdei Hashem, it had to happen very fast. It had to happen with speed, because if we come out of Mitzrayim and don't immediately become Avdei Hashem, then what happens? The ego comes back. We're free. We're on our own. No. We went from being Avdei Paroi to Avdei Hashem, and that's the matzah. The matzah is the speed. The matzah is the fact that there was no time for it to rise. No time for the ego to come back. No time for us to lose all that we gained in the Shiba Mitzrayim, in that Kur HaBarzel, in that purification process, and we were able then to become true Avdei Hashem and receive our mission in this world. To Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, Re'ezah Vekadesh. The truth is, the Maral says this beautifully. The Maral tells us that he explains that the way the Makas Bechoris happened, how is it that all the Mitzrim there perished at one moment? The Maral says it's because, as we say in the Lel Haggadah, we say in the Haggadah Lel Pesach, Anivaloi Malach, Anivaloi Sarov, meaning to say the Ribbono Shel Olam himself came Kaviyachal and revealed himself into this world. The Ribbono Shel Olam came that night. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam comes, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is one, because he is everything, nothing else exists but the Ribbono Shel Olam, and really just in this world it's a facade, he hides himself. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam comes and reveals himself, nothing else can actually exist. Says the Maral, that's why they perished, the Bechorim, because you can't exist in the presence of Hashem. Nothing else can exist. So asks the Maharal, so then how is it that Klal Yisrael survived that night? How did Klal Yisrael survive if when Hashem comes, nothing can exist but Him? How did we make it through the night? Says the Maharal, something so deep and so beautiful. Says the Maharal, that when the Ribbono Shel Olam came, the Pasach HaBatim Shel Yisrael, when the Ribbono Shel Olam came and came to the homes, He actually came to recruit Klal Yisrael. We actually came and became part of Kutsha Brichu, Kavi Yochol. We became a chelek of Hashem. That means to say, yes, nothing can exist but the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Klal Yisrael, the moment we became His nation, the moment we became a Klal Yisrael, we actually became a part of Ribbono Shel Olam. Because that's who we are. We are the ones that reveal Hashem to this world. We are the ones that represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's our mission, and that's who we are, and that's what happened that moment when Makkas Bechiras.
Why only
Bechirim?
What about the
Kish? So I'm not going to go into that, but yes, that's a good question. The Bechirim somehow represent everyone, but we'll leave that. This concept of being a mirror, we're considered a mirror. That's what we are. We have no self. And because of that, we belong to Hashem. We represent Hashem in this world. We actually say it every day. Hu asonu v'lo yanachnu amoy v'tzoyin marisa y'mizmer l'soyda. Hu asonu, the Ribbono Shel Olam made us, v'lo yanachnu. And here, v'lo yanachnu, we have a kriya ksiv. As everyone knows, is it loy with an aleph? Is it loy with a vav? If it was loy with an aleph, it would mean hu asanu v'loy anachnu. No, not us. We didn't make ourselves. It's all Hashem, and we are His nation. Amay v'tzay marisa. Or is it hu asanu v'loy anachnu with a vav? We belong to Him. The emes is that it's both, and it's so beautiful. The word Elul, I think the Sfas Emes says, Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, is this concept of Loi with an Aleph, Loi with a Vav. Elul spells both the Loi with an Aleph and the Loi with a Vav, because really, Loi Anachnu, when it's not about us, when we recognize that we're just the waiter, it's not about us, we're the John Doe, we're just the mirror, Loi Anachnu, then loy anachnu, then with the vav, then we belong to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then we represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. Amoy v'tzoyin marisa, then we're His nation. And this concept of being a mirror, of being that which reflects Borei Olam in this world, al pi Kabbalah is represented in the letter Dalet. Dalet. And why is it the letter Dalet? Shimshim Pinkus explains it by Arichas and others. The letter Dalet means Dal. What does Dal mean in Lashon HaKodesh? A Dal? A Dal is a pauper. A Dal is a Nebuch. A Dal has nothing of his own. And that's what it means. A mirror has no self. Has nothing of its own. Everything we see in a mirror is something else but it. No one looks at it. The mirror complains. No one's looking at me. They're just looking at something else. That is... The Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael is represented in the Dalet. It's also represented Malchus, because that's what Malchus is. Malchus is that which represents the Melech. And that Dalet, so beautifully, it represents Klal Yisrael in the word Yehuda. The name Yehuda, which we call Yehudim. We're Yehudim. Why Yehudim? Why do we choose the name Yehudim for Klal Yisrael? And the emes is that the name Yehuda represents this mission of Klal Yisrael. Because take the name Yehuda, the letters of Yehuda, Yud, Hey, we'll skip the Dalet. I'm sorry, Yud, Hey, Vav, skip the Dalet, and then we have another Hey. It's Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam's name, but the Ribbono Shel Olam's name with a Dalet. Because we are the mirror, Dalet. We are the one that we're the Dalet of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. We are the mirror, so to speak, of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. We represent Him. We're the Eiz of a Kadesh, we're Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. When one sees a Yid, the way he acts, the way he talks, the way he serves Hashem, one sees Kutsha Brichu and reveals Hashem in this world. Why does the Rebbe Shlomo love Klal Yisrael? What does he like about Klal Yisrael? It's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Vayeschanon. The end of Vayeschanon, beautiful pasuk. Rabbi Yisrael, Loi merubchem mikol ha'amim choshek Hashem bochem vayivchar bochem ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim. Continues to, I'm going to touch the pasuk in a second. Continues the pasuk, "Kimi avas Hashem eschem u'mishomrei es hashvua v'chule." So the pasuk says, "Loi merubchem mikol ha'amim choshek Hashem bochem." Not because you're many. Merubchem mikol ha'amim. Your greatness from all the nations. Choshek Hashem bochem. Hashem desires you. Vayivchar bochem, and He chose you. So here we have Rashi and we have the Ramban. And I want to look at Rashi first. Because Rashi Mamish says what we just said. Why does Hashem love Klal Yisrael? Loi merubchem, ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim. Rashi says the word ki over here is actually telling us the reason. Ki? You know why the Ribbono Shel Olam has cheshek and desires Klal Yisrael? Ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim. So after Rashi, you make yourself small. Like Avram Avinu that said about himself, you, Klal Yisrael, make yourself small. You make yourself small. It's not about you. It's not about ourselves, it's about the Ribbono Shel Olam. We make ourselves small. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam loves Klal Yisrael. But I want to go on and show how the Ramban learns the pasuk. Because here we find another depth in this dedication that we have to the Ribbono Shel Olam as our mission. And the Ramban says, no, the next pasuk, ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim, is not the reason. Ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim is just saying, it couldn't be because you're such a great nation in numbers. Ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim, because you're the smallest nation. But rather, why does Hashem love us? Ki me'avas Hashem eschem. Because Hashem loves you. One second. Hashem desires us because He loves us. Doesn't explain. He loves us because He loves us. What does that mean? What does it mean? Says the Ramban. Wow. Look what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, Ki me'avet Hashem eschem, shero eschem ru'uyim li'is'ayhev l'fonov. You know why? Hashem found you, Klal Yisrael, to be the most fitting to be loved. Because you know why? There's no reason. The reason really is because who do I want to love? I want to love someone that's going to love me back. And Ribbono Shel Olam saw in Klal Yisrael that Klal Yisrael is going to love me back unconditionally, and therefore I'm going to love them unconditionally. As I said, the Ramban can nifchal oyv haydu lispalas oyv bechol ha'boylov. Someone that really loves someone knows how to be soivel, how to accept and to love them back no matter what happens. Therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam loves Klal Yisrael unconditionally because we'll love him unconditionally. And says the Ramban, just as we find that Klal Yisrael went through the gullus and Klal Yisrael went through so many nisoyness of being executed for the sake of Avodas Hashem, of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they're willing to give up everything, they're willing to even be spat on like this John Doe, and to stand there and to accept it, and to show their commitment and to the Eibishter. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. I just want to end. There's a minig Lel Pesach to eat eggs. There's a minig Lel Pesach to eat eggs. And what's behind this? Why are we eating eggs? So it's brought down in Svarim that there's a correlation between Tisha B'Av and Lel HaSeder. And simply, the way it's explained is because it always turns out the same night. If the Lel HaSeder, like this year, Be'ez Hashem, is going to be a Matzah Shabbos, so Tisha B'Av this coming year will be Matzah Shabbos. There's a correlation between when Lel HaSeder is and Tisha B'Av. And therefore we eat the eggs as a commemoration of Churban Beis HaMikdash. But there must be something much deeper. there must be some kind of connection between that which Tisha B'Av always falls out on that night of Pesach. What's the shaychus? What's the connection? And I think perhaps that the answer lies in this Ramban. Because what was Pesach? The Ribbono Shel Olam made us into his Am. He made us into, he showed that love, that unconditional love. Klal Yisrael, at that time, we were not roy to come out, like we spoke. We were mem teshari tumah. There was nothing that we could do to really deserve the Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the Ribbono Shel Olam came like a father that loves his child unconditionally. And he showed us that. And he took us out of Mitzrayim. But Rabbi Yisai, why does the Eibishter love us unconditionally? Zokhtu Ramban, because Klal Yisrael have that unconditional love back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And no matter what happens to Klal Yisrael, no matter what circumstance, we don't turn our back on the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that really, when do we demonstrate that on Tisha B'Av? We demonstrate our reciprocation of that conditional love when on Tisha B'Av, when we go into Galus and we go through what we go through. And yet, we stand firm with the Ribbono Shel Olam, we stand committed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's Hashem's unconditional love towards us on Pesach, with our reciprocation back to Him on Tisha B'Av, and L'chayre brings it together as one, and we this is Taka, our mission statement, Re'eze v'kadesh, v'kadesh em shemayim, and to represent Kodesh Brichu in this world.
A bit harder. What's trying to mirror that we are the mirror?
I mean, to say that we represent ourselves. I mean, to say just like we look at a mirror, whatever you see, it's like the mirror. So the mirror is turning towards the mirror. So if you look at us,
thank you. Sorry. This question came up last night, so I said, we have Beitzer, the Beitzer on the Beitzer. It's not to do with the Kamer Chagiga, but
some people eat at the same hard world egg.
You mentioned about Buckingham Palace. It's happening right now. This video is making fun of these guys. They're making fun of the nerds. It's going, you know, they're going to love that. Fortunately, they don't.